Spoil yourself with this Beck and Soda podcast and then spoil your mum for this Mother's Day at Chemist Warehouse, where you'll find big brand fragrances at the lowest prices.
I think they're a mix of calm and crazy.
They're just fun.
They're like a married couple.
They're hilarious.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Start listening.
And happy Met Gala Day, Soda. I know you're excited because you're wearing your best jumper, your best sloppy Joe.
What are you talking about?
Met Gala.
What is the Met Gala?
You must have seen this. It's on 7 News every year that it happens. It's basically a big charity gala ball raising money for the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York.
I've been there.
But all the celebs go, and because it's raising money for the Costume Institute as part of the museum, the outfits are ridiculously, outrageously insane. And they have a theme each year. I know you were going to ask that. Yep. What's the theme? It's the Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion.
Right. It sounds fascinating. So what happens?
Well, they walk a red carpet, and then what happens after that, we don't know because there's a no phones policy inside. Occasionally, some of the celebs might do a little sneaky, you know, BTS TikTok. But apart from that, it's just the red carpet that we get to see. Yep. And the big speculation is whether Taylor and Travis will turn up this year.
Right. Wow. Dressed as what?
Well, we don't know.
It's like not day-to-day wear. You can't. You couldn't buy this.
It's couture. It's haute couture. It's the fanciest of couture. That I don't know what the haute in haute couture is.
So that's the news for the day.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Soda, as a firefighter in a former life, you would have saved, I mean, countless lives.
There's been a couple of opportunities. I remember there was one little pussy once that I saved on the parade in Norwood. Aww. It was a tiny little cat and it was caught in a drain and we couldn't get it out and you could just hear it meowing. Aww. So someone called in, 000, there's a cat to rescue, and what we had to do was get the hose, shoot it down the drain, and the cat came out like it was on a water slide on its
brilliant.
Back.
So fun.
It was a tiny little cat and it came straight out the drain and I caught it. So that was a legitimate life-saving situation.
That would have been, and before we go tonight on Channel 7, a story about a cat rescued from a drain.
Well, it was legitimately going to die. Yeah. It was going to drown, but we were able to rescue that. Look, that sort of stuff happened quite a bit.
Well, on behalf of the South Australian community,
thank you
for your service. So we were talking yesterday on the show about who saved your life. We had some incredible calls come through and some comments on the socials.
What about this one? I love this. Do you remember the old Heimlich manoeuvre?
Yes.
So for anyone that does first aid, you would have done a first aid course with work and that sort of thing. You know, now it's meant to be like 2 or 3 sharp upward blows between the shoulder blades. Yeah, because I think the Heimlich manoeuvre can be a little dangerous. But Karen has said here on Facebook that when she was 5 or 6, she was choking on a piece of meat. Dad did the Heimlich manoeuvre and the meat flew out of her mouth and spat her on the floor. And he just learnt how to do the Heimlich manoeuvre that day at work.
Oh, no. And I've got one from Tamika.
Don't practice that at home, kids. The Heimlich manoeuvre is essentially when you hug someone from behind, squeeze the hell out of them until whatever they've got inside them bursts out of their mouth.
And you can also break their ribs. Tamika was saved by her babysitter by the Heimlich when she was sucking on a coin and it got stuck. So we also got this voicemail from Amelia.
Hey, Beck and Soda. It's Amelia here. Heard you chatting about saving lives. When I was about 3 years old, I was on a ski raft that my father had built and I was playing in the shallows of the water and fell in through the middle hole and was hanging on by my toes, holding my breath, and my mum has sat up on the sand and gone, "Where's Amelia?" And all of a sudden, my dad literally ran across the water, pulled me out, and my face was blue. I was probably on my last breath. So, yeah, thank my dad for saving my life every single day that I get the opportunity.
Well, good on you, Amelia. That's wonderful. Considering that Dad built the ski raft, as we heard, and there was a hole in the middle, and his daughter nearly drowned from it. No wonder Dad busted his butt to make sure he could save his own daughter.
Oh, I probably should have left a hole in the middle of that.
Oh, no.
Don't believe that would have been had a safety rating whatsoever. Dad built a raft, and I nearly died. Ridiculous scenario. Come on, Dad. Do your head in. What about this one? Now, this is from Amelia. This is also...
No, Kay, sorry. Actually.
Kay, yes. Another hero just stepping in at the right time.
Hi, Beck and Soda. It's Kay. Heard the other day that you were asking about people that had other people that saved their lives. I had Mr. Hardy from Wakery, who owned Hardy's Winery, saved my life. I fell into a drain, and as I was coming up to where the drain was going to go underneath the road, Mr. Hardy saw me and actually grabbed me out. I was under 2 years of age, and I'm very thankful that he saved me.
Oh, that is wonderful. She said Mr. Hardy. Could that be Sir James Hardy?
Well, she said from the Hardy Wineries.
Yeah, maybe.
Well done. If that was Sir James, Imagine. We actually lost him last year. He was 90 years of age when he passed. But a wonderful, wonderful man to look after that. And I don't believe James was making wines. He wasn't building his own raft. No. So for anyone that's thinking about that this weekend, probably best you buy one.
Can I say that winemakers have saved my life on many a Saturday night?
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Yesterday on my Mum Fail Monday, I confessed to sitting down to watch The Idea of You with Anne Hathaway and James Gandolfini. So she's 40, he's 24, and I thought it was a rom-com, which it was, but there was one particular scene that was super, super raunchy, and my 15-year-old's boyfriend was over for the first time, and she was mortified that he had to watch it. He was really embarrassed. Everyone was screaming, yelling. I was trying to grab the remote to fast forward through it.
The most important thing that you are forgetting here was that you said when you all sat down to watch your movie, you sat there amongst the kids and said, my choice, and picked the film.
I did.
So essentially you were promoting a sex scene to your daughter's new 15-year-old boy in the house.
And what was even worse is that the kids thought I was some thirsty old woman who saw myself as the Anne Hathaway.
What do you mean they thought?
They saw straight through me.
A 15-year-old boy has been subjected to that. Like, has he been back since?
No.
Have you met the parents yet?
No, they live in the country.
Yeah.
You're going to get a phone call.
Yeah.
You'll definitely get a phone call. Because imagine what he's going to say to his parents. They go, oh, how's the new girlfriend, Millie? Yeah, really, really good. And have you met the family? Yeah, we went and watched a movie with her mum and it was a sex scene.
We sat down and watched some soft porn on
You're going to be in all sorts of issues with that. It quite often happens, though. Have you ever had any other movies like with your parents that you've sat down and watched?
I just always remember any scene where there was any sort of kissing, I'd get really embarrassed. I'd be like, I need to go to the toilet. Like, I just couldn't sit next to them.
There are inappropriate movies for kids that you never realise. On our Automasters text line, 0488 52 107. What Ed Sarah said, when my daughter was 10, she came home and her dad were watching Snowtown.
Oh, that's horrible. That's going to give a kid nightmares.
That gave me nightmares as an adult. I can remember, Otis is 7, right?
Yeah.
I came home and we're sitting there watching a movie and I was sort of keeping really busy. And him and Felix are watching something. I'd see this teddy bear running around. I'm going, this is all right. Then I've looked over and there's Mark Wahlberg and Ted is punching bongs on a couch.
Yeah, no.
And I'm sitting there going, hang on. What? And then Ted started dropping F-bombs. And I've looked around thinking they're watching a family-friendly show and I had to quickly get to the remote to get rid of that.
So inappropriate.
Have you ever seen that film, Ted?
No, I've never seen
it. It's very funny, but not for kids
at all. It's a bit like
all.
Sausage Party, which is a cartoon, but it's not about... Like, that's a naughty cartoon.
Yes.
Zoe jumped on the Automasters text line. She watched The Wolf of Wall Street with her dad and was mortified in that scene with Margot Robbie in the nursery. You know, she it's a bit of a Sharon Stone moment.
My mum, Betty, is a little gullible, right? I can remember when me and Foggy and Mendez, we were all 14 at home, and we said, can you go and get a video, Mum? Can you go and get Fritz the Cat? And it's a cartoon, and she had to go to the video shop and get it because we said, you need to go up and get it because we can't go up there. And it was a cartoon. And my mum got it and brought it back, and we were watching it.
Was it a naughty cartoon?
Yes.
No.
Why?
Like, it wasn't even soft.
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
What did the cat have to do with it?
The cat was Fritz, and he was flat out. He was busy.
Get him into us. I'm going to end this. The Automaster text line 0488 52 107.
What did you watch with your parents, or what did your parents let you watch?
Yeah, exactly.
You never seen Fritz the Cat?
Yeah.
There was another one called Shame of the Jungle with Tarzan. It was a cartoon as well.
Yeah, no.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Soda's Accent Game.
Yep. So is that what we're calling it? Is it got a name?
It probably needs to be workshopped.
Do you like
it's pretty
that?
Simple. It says what it is.
Soda's Accent Game.
Yeah.
Okay.
The
How do we play game. Soda's Accent Game?
You have an accent, you call, and Soda picks your accent.
Right. Wow.
And it's a game.
Yeah.
It's a fun game.
Right, I've got to stop talking about myself in a third person.
Yeah.
All right. We've got Alex from Clapham. Good morning, Alex.
Hello. How are you?
I am going very, very well, Alex. Okay. What are you doing today?
I'm just about to get a train into uni, actually.
Right. How long have you been in Australia, Alex?
I've been in Australia for about 7 years, but I've just moved to Adelaide in February, so I'm new to Adelaide.
Oh, cool. Why have you moved to Adelaide? Why'd you pick here?
Came for a new job, for my partner's job. Yep. So, yeah, excited. It's
brilliant.
Fun.
All right. Yeah. Beck, any thoughts? Come on. let me just tell you one thing. Guess where Alex isn't from?
She's not from Ireland.
She's not from South Africa either.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was going to go Ireland. Reckon?
You're going to say Ireland? Alex, can you say 33?
33.
Right, that's not Irish, is it?
No.
No, okay. Well, Alex, you're clearly from somewhere around the UK. I'm just going to come straight out and I'm going to say, I would say you're from somewhere in, where do you reckon, Beck? Scotland. Are you from somewhere in Scotland, Alex?
I am.
Oh, I always get those two mixed up.
What, Scotland and Ireland? How offensive, Alex, would it be for someone to think you're Irish if you're Scottish?
I think that's quite a compliment, actually. I quite like the Irish accent.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah. All right, I like the Scottish accent too, obviously.
All right, where are we going to go, Beck? I reckon Edinburgh or Glasgow? Come on.
50-50.
Come on, Beck. Go 50-50.
This is not about a making Beck look stupid game.
Okay, Alex, I'm going to run this. I reckon you are from somewhere around Edinburgh.
I am.
How far out of Edinburgh?
Maybe about 20 minutes.
There you go.
Surely that's a win, isn't it?
I'll give you
that's
that.
How did you get that?
Well, Alex, I mean, I have watched a few TV shows from Scotland.
He'll say it's obvious.
I've been to St Andrews.
All right, who's next? Who's next, Beck?
All right, we're going to Ellie in Prospect. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
We are going well. Beck, not so at the moment.
No, I just...
Right. Okay, Ellie, tell us, when did you move to Adelaide?
I moved to Adelaide when I was about 11 years old.
Right, so you've been here for a long time.
Long time.
Okay, so you were 11, so you grew up where your home country was up until you were 11?
Well, I was actually born in Adelaide, but I moved from when I was about 2 years old and stayed there till I was about 11.
Right, so we're talking, the accent has come from 9 years in one particular country.
Wow. Correct.
Jeez. I've got to be honest with you. This is
I think you've been Australianified as well. I can hear an Aussie twang in there as well.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I got a little bit of everything going on.
Right, Ellie. I'm going to be honest. I'm very, very stumped. But I would say that I feel like there's a bit of American in there, American or Canadian. I'm going to say I reckon there's some sort of American accent in there. Would that be right?
You are correct.
Right. Beck, I've got to be honest here, I have no idea where the region is.
Go on, Beck.
Yeah. I couldn't even begin.
California.
Close.
Whereabouts?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, there you go. So from the age of 2 to 11, Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, stuck around.
Right. But can I claim that as a win?
I'll give it to you because I reckon the degree of difficulty was very high. Also, people go on holidays to America and come back speaking like an American. It's very...
Do you know, it's funny, I lived in England for 1 year, right?
Mm.
And I was away with people who after 1 year came back talking like they were absolute Cockneys. And I could not understand. You go, all right. It's g'day because I've been with you the whole time in Adelaide. You can't start suddenly say, all right, you know who used to do a bit of that? Mm. Kylie Minogue, guilty.
Yeah, she did.
Guilty.
Didn't she?
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda. SAFM's I am your mother. You listen to me. Mum's the word.
Beck, what we're doing is getting people to confess the secrets that they've kept from their mum, some of them for many, many years.
Yeah, we want to protect our mums. We want our mums to think that we're little angels.
What better way to celebrate Mother's Day than to get off the lies and the deception that you've kept from your mother all your life? And right now, Tegan joins us. Morning, Tegan.
Good morning.
So when you were 14, what are we talking, 20-odd years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Tell us what happened.
So mum's gone out for a little bit and left me in the trusted hands of my sister and her friends. And we've been mucking around and they thought it'd be funny to lock me outside instead of just waiting. I decided that I would give the window on the side of the door a bit of a tap and I've put my foot completely through it. And we could have waited and we could have told the truth, but it was probably much easier to say that a kid had walked past and thrown a rock through the window instead. So off to the park across we trot. We grabbed a rock and we put it inside and we waited for her to get home, and we could have just got it fixed, but there was a police report and police came to the house and they had a look. So that's what I've been holding on to for all those many years. But I would like to say there was just my sister too as well. So I'm not the only bad person in this.
So you stuck to your story, Tegan, even when your mum called the cops in?
Yeah, we sat in the lounge room.
Tegan, I think when you're that far in, you've got to keep going with it to keep
your
authenticity.
Yeah, well, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
So can you remember what 20-odd years ago, sitting in that lounge room watching your mum tell the story to the copper?
The horrendous feeling in the pit of your stomach, knowing full well you've done something wrong and you're right, you can't go back. There was no going back from that, so you just ate it and kept going.
Were you and your sister sworn to secrecy with each other and her friend as well?
Yeah, we didn't. Not a word. Not until this day. And even writing it on Facebook, I was like, oh, I wonder if this is going to come out. But it hasn't yet. Thanks.
Tegan, you know that technically makes you a criminal because filing a false report and wasting police resources is a crime.
I feel like that should have been shredded by now, so we should be good.
Yeah, I reckon the statute of limitations is up, so you should be all okay. How did your mum take it? She would have been shocked and worried, I imagine, for you guys if that had happened.
Yes, look, she didn't rush out to the shops for a little while after that, leaving us alone. And well, let's face it, the friend shouldn't have locked me out either. So there's a few factors that played.
And when you said you just gave the window a little tap, let's be honest here, were you angry and you just gave it a little more than a tap?
Well, look, I didn't realise I was Hulk at the time. Okay, we'll leave it that way.
All right, now, 25 years on, how do you think your mum would react to knowing the truth?
Look, I think she's going to be really, really shocked, and I feel like I made a police report, Tegan, it's going to come out, but probably nothing to what we'll see off the radio anyway.
Right. All right, Tegan, well, stay with us because coming up next, we're going to get you to confess to Mum. What's Mum's name?
Cindy.
Right. All right. So you stand by. We're going to get Cindy up on the line and then you can go hard and tell her exactly what you did, you little criminal, you.
Oh, and then you can tell her she's won a great prize, Tegan. You can sweeten it.
Oh, look, it's all worth it. If that's going to be the outcome, I'll take it.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda. SAFM's I am your mother. You listen to me. Mum's the word.
Okay, Beck, we have got Tegan on the line from Para Hills. Around about 25 years ago, when she was just a teenager, her sister kicked her out of the house, and her sister and her friend were there while Mum was up at the shops. Tegan spat the dummy, kicked the window in, and got a little angry. Tegan, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Right, and then obviously you had to cover your tracks.
Yes, I did. And we called the police, and we did the right thing and got our police report.
Said that someone had thrown a rock through the window, Tegan. All right, you've held this secret for 25 years. Your mum has no idea what you're about to confess, so let's give her a call and see how she reacts.
Hello.
Hi, Mum. How are you going?
Hello.
You remember the time that we called you and we were like, oh, some kid's just gone through and thrown a rock through the window, and you come home and we, you know, did the right thing and called the police and got a report and they come and had a look?
Yeah.
It wasn't a rock. It was actually my foot.
Tegan. Oh, my God.
In all fairness, Jay and
Why
her friend had locked me
foot?
Out.
Who?
Because
locked out?
Jay's friend at the time. And I wanted to get back in, so I put my foot through it. But in all fairness, if we're talking about it, it was Jay's idea to get the rock.
Jay, okay, I've only just got over your incident with the screwdriver. You're only just telling me that now?
Hello, Cindy. This is Beck and Soda from SAFM. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm flabbergasted.
Wow, I would be too. Now, we've just got to jump in here because we know nothing about the screwdriver. What is the screwdriver incident?
Yes. When she was younger, she was out the back with the kid across the road and they found a screwdriver and they were tossing it at each other. It went in her leg and she needed stitches.
Cindy, what sort of daughter have you been raising?
Oh my God! I could tell you lots more if you like.
Oh. No, we're fine.
So, do you remember calling the police and having them sit down in your lounge room and you telling the whole story?
Which I had to get a police report for it to be fixed.
Right, and Tegan, hasn't this backfired on you because you've obviously told your mum what had happened and confessed, but then now there's a whole rap sheet you've got.
I'm fairly sure I'm just going to keep the stick in my secrets.
Well, Cindy, for being such a good sport, Tegan has come clean because she has won you a little staycation, a little weekend trip to Oval Hotel, including breakfast and dinner.
Oh,
yeah, you're very welcome.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Cindy, can you just tell us, what was Tegan like as a child?
She was very active, as you can hear, but she was very sweet. She was very loving too.
Cindy, it sounds like butter wouldn't melt in that mouth that told so many lies about it.
Oh, yes.
Well, you enjoy that night in a fancy hotel, Cindy. You will love it.
Thank you very much for that.
Okay.
Thank you, Tegan. I love you.
Love you too.
You guys have a great Mother's Day on Sunday, okay?
Thank you.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
It would be a beautiful day to go have some lunch at Victoria Square at Tasting Australia.
It is very, very cool, isn't it? There, I think it's called the Town Square, isn't it? So if you are in town, make sure you pop in and grab something as you whip through many, many, many options there. And speaking of food, Rebecca Morse, three pregnancies for you. Did you have any bizarre cravings?
I remember with Grace, my first, having never, ever eaten them or liked them before, I was chowing down on those large packs of peanut M&Ms every day.
Oh, like the yellow pack.
The big yellow pack, not the little one. Yeah. Big maxi pack daily.
Good choice, though, because they are the king of M&Ms. They're better than your traditional chocolate, your Crispies, your caramel.
The Crispies are a waste of time.
There's almond M&Ms nowadays. Oh. So many different ones, but you're right. The peanut are by far
And then
the best.
Grace now loves them herself.
Oh, does
I think
she?
I think she... Tasted absorbed them. Quite a few in utero.
She tasted them in the womb.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Hey, we got this call from Amber yesterday.
Not too long now.
How
Thank
many
you
weeks?
Very much. 27.
Oh, any cravings?
Red wine, but obviously I can't have
that. Yes, now Amber was playing Alpha Bucks, obviously having a little one. Craving red wine.
Yes. No. It's tough when you can't have all the fun stuff. You can't have wine. You can't have soft cheeses. You
can't
lose
have soft
your
cheese.
Ankles. Yeah, you know, you can't have soft cheese.
Yeah, no. Oh, can't you?
No.
Or well, no, or sushi.
What,
it's horrible.
What do you mean you can't have sushi?
Well, because of the raw fish.
Is that right?
It's horrible being pregnant. I mean, apart from the fact that, you know, you get a beautiful child at the end of it.
Good call.
We have got on our Automasters text line 0488 52 107. Let us know what you had cravings of. When Michelle said she liked green cordial on top of her Cocoa Pops.
That's bizarre. So
this is the bit when you have like peanut M&Ms.
That's not that
pretty
weird.
Standard, but the fact you didn't really like them is quite an interesting craving. But when you start getting weird crap, Kat said here, during her first baby, pickled onions and honey ice cream. Where do you get these insane combinations from?
Eleni was having soy sauce in a shot glass because she was craving it so hard.
What?
Emma was dipping her lettuce in gravy. Nikki was craving Dettol, the smell of Dettol. So she kept a Dettol soap bar in her bag to sniff it when she got it.
Can your cravings be smells?
There you go.
I didn't realise that. What about this one? Jillian said that, right, she was eating a packet of Weet-Bix a day dry.
Isn't that some challenge?
Yeah. How can you even eat one? And then she said that she actually hates Weet-Bix. And once the baby came out and she was in hospital, on the menu for breakfast, it had Weet-Bix. She said absolutely no. But before that, she was just belting them down like biscuits.
All right, 13:10:60. It's an easy one this morning. On your way to drop the kids off at school, what were your constant cravings whilst pregnant?
Got some real quirky stuff.
Yeah, not just peanut M&Ms.
Can you top green cordial on Cocoa
Pops? That's out there. Yeah.
Not bad.
All right. Give us a buzz. 13:10:60.
Yeah, nice to hear from you. Automouse's text line as well, 0488 52 107.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
All right, 13:10:60 is our number right now, though. Pregnancy cravings, everybody. Thank you, Katie Lane.
Now, Rebecca Morse, cravings generally start around the fifth week of pregnancy.
Did you just Google that?
Did you know that?
No, I did not know
Do you know why they occur?
No, I don't know.
Well, certainly because of you have your hormonal roller coaster taking on, then it heightens your senses of smell and taste, which means you might have these bizarre feelings towards
those
things.
Oh, yeah, the sense of smell, I remember that. I was gagging over, like, the weirdest smells.
Yeah, well, there you go. And then there's also nutritional deficiencies.
Okay.
So if you're craving iron, you might want meat. If you need vitamin C, you crave fruit. If you want calcium, ice cream. Pickles is a big one because of the need for sodium.
There you go. Thank you. We've had so many calls on this, you weirdos. At Marine Bayshore Park, what were you craving?
Vinegar.
Vinegar.
Oh, right. So, Marie, what were you putting it on?
Everything. Breakfast, lunch and dinner, roast dinners, two-minute noodles. Yeah, everything I ate had vinegar on it.
Were you taking swigs of it straight?
No, but my daughter now does. She is addicted to it and loves it. So.
There you go. You've passed it on. There's no one like you and your peanut M&Ms.
Yeah.
Your kids end up loving what you crave.
Amber in Manoparra, what were you craving?
Pickled brats in a roll-up.
In a roll-up, as in like...
The little kids'
fruit
ones.
Fruit roll-ups.
Yeah.
Yuck!
How good's that? So you got the sweet and the savoury in one because you wanted some sodium.
Yeah, it was pretty good, but it's not something I'd eat now.
There we go.
Funny.
There's something weird. Cheryl from St. Clair. Okay, Cheryl, what was it you craved?
Onions. I ate them like apples.
Oh, yeah.
They were amazing. It was insatiable. I couldn't get enough of them.
Hey, Cheryl, were you like, you would essentially hold an apple, an onion and bite into it like an apple?
I would peel the onion, take the skin off, and I would bite into it. I remember I was cooking and I was just pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was cutting this onion up and all of a sudden I just started to eat it like I was in some sort of zombie apocalypse. And yeah, it was amazing. And never did it again until I had two children 14 months apart.
Yep.
Nothing in my life has been planned, but neither were planned. And I was hiking with my 6-month-old in the Flinders Ranges and got this insatiable craving for an onion.
And
so I went and bought an onion
yep.
and a pregnancy test.
Oh, how good's that? An onion and a pregnancy test.
Crystal in Gillis Plains, what did you crave when you were pregnant?
So I had two odd, strange cravings.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was chicken twisties with tomato sauce.
Oh.
And the second one, my friends all think is absolutely disgusting. I'm a Vegemite hater, but I crave Vegemite toast dipped in banana milk.
Oh, that is a weird combination. Crystal, how's that? So Beck was the same, and you know, we got a text before about Weet-Bix. The things that you don't like that you actually start to like. That is weird.
With my last pregnancy, I hated cheese, and now I like cheese.
There you go.
Crazy. Karina in Woolville North, what was your weird pregnancy craving?
Mine was garlic meatwurst with frozen yogurt on top.
Oh, come on, Karina. That's
sounds
disgusting.
Good,
no, that was actually tasting really good. I had it a few times a day, actually. So
I mean, the visual picture there is not good.
You can't knock it till you try it,
there you
Beck.
Go. Yeah. That's it. Thank you.
And Alicia,
I might try it this weekend.
You might be pregnant again, Karina. Alicia from Craigmore. Alicia, what did you crave?
I had garlic sauce on raisin toast.
Oh, get out.
It's a real sweet and savoury thing,
it was
isn't it?
The best thing ever.
Have you ever tried it when you're not pregnant?
I did, and I don't recommend it. It's absolutely disgusting.
There you go.
All right.
We have had not enough time to get all your calls to air because this is such a common thing. We love it. So we're going to come back to it tomorrow. So send us a text on the Automasters text line, 0488 52 107, and we'll get to more of these tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Do you know what? Now, weirdly, I want some peanut M&Ms.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, mate. My ovaries are shrilled up sometimes.
Hey, Big Jim's back in town.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda. Number one for fun. That's it for SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda. Now it's time to get busy for mum. Spoil your mum for this Mother's Day at Chemist Warehouse, where you'll find big brand fragrances at the lowest prices.
SAFM.